Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you didn't know you were walking into a Lutheran church this morning as I read the gospel, you might have thought that we were doing a read-through for a soap opera. Aside from perhaps the crucifixion itself, this is one of the most gruesome stories, at least in the New Testament. We've got these characters. We've got Herod and Herodias, Herod's wife, but also his brother's wife. We have Herodias' daughter, who is also named Herodias. And we have John the Baptist. And the one most obviously absent in this whole story is Jesus. But I promise you, from this pulpit, we will get to Jesus this morning. I would love to hear what your hearts heard when I read the gospel. Because I've been reading this gospel over and over all week. And I identify with the different characters at different times and places. And then I hear other Bible stories that it connects to. John the Baptist is a prophet. His whole purpose in this lifetime was to point to Jesus. Even from his mother's womb, the story goes, he knew when he was in the presence of Jesus. And he pointed. And when John was baptizing, he baptized and called for people to repent, that they might be ready to receive Jesus when he came. John the Baptist, always a precursor to Jesus, said, when the Messiah comes, I won't even be worthy to untie his sandals. He was a rough-looking character. Some say probably a Nazarite. He wore a camel's coat and ate bugs. But he was intriguing. And Herod was intrigued by him, perplexed by him. Herod, as this story says, had no inclination toward killing John. Herod was interested in John. But we'll set that on a shelf there. John was a prophet. And I guess the classic definition for a prophet is one who comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable. And so when John the Baptist afflicted, comfortable Herod, he insulted Herod's wife, who was also the wife of Herod's brother. But Herod liked listening to John. And so Herod's torn in this little scenario here, or at least he appears to be by the text. Again, I'm telling you, this is a soap opera. You have to put on those lenses. But in the end, you must know that prophets seldom made it out of the biblical story with their hides intact. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets. Being a prophet was not something that got you a career advancement into your elder years. Being a prophet was voicing truth to power, and power never appreciates that. So Herod is throwing a birthday party for himself, and his wife's daughter is dancing. We don't know what kind of dance. Folklore around this story has made it erotic or not, or whatever the deal was. But Herod was so pleased with this dance, he says to the girl, "Ask me anything, and I will give it to you." Picture this soap opera, okay? This is the big mob boss with lots of rings on his fingers. "Ask for anything, even half my kingdom." He was also a pompous buffoon, you see, because he was only a tetrarch. He was not a king. He didn't have a kingdom to give. I want you to tie this back to the temptation of Jesus. Do you remember the temptation of Jesus when the devil took Jesus to a high mountain and said, "If you will just worship me, I will give you all these kingdoms." And Jesus, of course, told the devil, "You shall worship only God." But the story behind the story there was that the devil didn't have any kingdoms to give. And neither did Herod. Did Herodias know that? Maybe she was calling that bluff. But she was bitter, and she hated John the Baptist. And so the daughter comes out and said, "Mom, what should I ask for? He said he'd give me anything." And the mother says, "Give me the head of John the Baptist." There is no possible children's sermon in this. In fact, if there were smaller children here, I would be asking parents to put little earphones in, earbuds, and like, turn on something, VeggieTales or something, because this is more than PG. This is a grown-up story. And so the girl, where do you think her heart was at? I've been wondering about that, you know? She's got this powerful, rich ruler telling her she can make a request of him. She can have anything she wants. And I bet she, dollars to donuts, she does not want a head on a platter. But she asks her mom. She's dutiful. And so they order John the Baptist's head presented to them on a platter. And as a preacher, I'm supposed to make good news of this. Well, the sobering news is that John always went ahead of Jesus. John was always where Jesus was, just a little bit before Jesus was. And the commentators even point out, well, you know, beheading's a lot less painful than crucifixion. But the truth is, long after Herod Antipas is gone, long after Herodias is gone, long after the daughter is gone, who really never got anything she wanted anyway, and long after John the Baptist is dead, Jesus passed through death to eternal life. Friends, this world is a crazy place and probably no less violent than it was in Jesus' time. We don't behead anymore, but there's so many other ways to kill each other. And earthly powers will always promise more than they can deliver. Right? Doesn't matter which side of the political fence we are on, the politicians will always promise more than they can deliver. Deliver less than we want. And we keep thinking that earthly powers can set us free somehow. They can't. Herod and Herodias and the daughter, none of them really got anything satisfying out of this exchange. It ended in death. So do most of our earthly ways of resolving problems. But we have better news than that. Herod didn't get it. He thought maybe this Jesus that we were hearing about, maybe he was John the Baptist come back from the dead. But no. God doesn't need to recycle. That's been proven. Jesus is not Elijah. Jesus is not John the Baptist. Jesus is Jesus. And Jesus faced the earthly powers 100-fold what John the Baptist did. And Jesus was crucified. For preaching love, for preaching justice, for preaching that his kingdom was not of this world. He made people nervous. He made leaders frightened. But he healed the sick. He comforted the hurting. He raised the dead. He healed them. He brought life out of death. He could manage things that were not under any earthly control. And that scared those who have the earthly control. Still does. Still does. But John went to a righteous death. To continue to point toward Jesus. Who would, in not too many months, follow the same path, only to that of crucifixion. In cahoots with the same earthly and churchly leaders. But Jesus' power, his kingdom, is forever. Remember that when you get distressed about something that's going on in this world today, in the neighborhood, in the community, in the country, in the world, like Herod, these will all pass away. They might make a footnote in history somewhere, but they are not eternal. What is eternal is the grace, peace, love, forgiveness, and mercy of God made known most clearly to us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So if somebody asks you, what is it that you want? I can give you And the end is open-ended? Let your answer be, I want Jesus. Because in Jesus, everything else comes along, falls into place, and the peace of God that passes understanding will sustain you and keep you in His grace. Amen.